Hello, you're listening to Career Conversations, a series that's part of the Food Matters Live podcast. I'm Alicia Roche, a chef and food journalist, and together we'll meet experts in cooking, mixology, the environment, psychology, branding, social media, and all sorts as we learn about the surprisingly varied roles that go way beyond the kitchen. My guest today is Ella Jonas, who is just a few years into her job as a junior brand manager at Mondelez, the enormous global company behind lots of big chocolate brands like Cadbury, Oreos, Green and Blacks and Toblerone. We thought it'd be nice to have some conversations with people at the start of their careers for once, and Ella is such a fabulous brand ambassador for the Mondelez graduate scheme. She just loves working there, I think that comes across, and she 100% loves chocolate. I'll be back at the end with some key info about following in Ella's footsteps, but for now, settle in and enjoy the podcast. Are you in any way related to international pop sensations, the Jonas Brothers?
When I'm in America, I always tell people I am. Sadly, not related, but my brother is called Nick Jonas, so he does get a lot of people getting disappointed when he arrives and isn't the actual Nick Jonas.
Wow, I didn't expect that answer, but now we've got that out of the way. On to your career.
Sadly, not a pop career.
There's still time, Ella. We usually interview people a bit further along in their job journey, but we thought it'd be really nice, because our listeners are mostly students, to have somebody on who's younger and who still remembers what it was like being at uni and struggling to find that first job. Was uni stressful in that way? Did there feel like there was a lot of pressure to work out what you needed to do?
100%. You're like, I have to decide what I have to do for my whole life, and the career that I'm going to join is going to be the one that I do for 60 years. And you're trying to juggle finals and exams and like going out and social and stuff. It's a massive undertaking to juggle all in your final year. So I did English literature at uni, which doesn't necessarily go on to an obvious career. So I was like, this is huge. Full midlife crisis. The one learning that I would take from it is that you absolutely, your first job is not necessarily what you're going to do for your entire life. Just think about what you would enjoy rather than stressing that you've committed to a career for 50 years.
Yeah, that's great advice. And actually, the more people I meet, the less linear I find people's job paths are, especially now. So where were you studying? Which uni were you at?
So I was at X University. Absolutely loved it. Still, anytime I go past it, I'm like, this was the best time of my life. No, but it was really great. By the sea, really supportive environment, and had great friends there that I'm still friends with now.
But you did English Lit, which isn't the obvious choice for someone who's ended up working for a huge food group. How did that all come about?
It's an interesting one. At the beginning, I was kind of the same as you, that I was like, this has absolutely no connection. But the more I've done it, the more I realise that there are loads of interchangeable skills between English and what I do now, so marketing, in terms of like creative arguments and like thinking about what's going to appeal to consumer, and like in the same way that you write an essay and you like construct an argument in terms of persuading the person that's reading it to believe what you believe. It's kind of the same in marketing, that you want to persuade someone that your brand is a brand that you should pick up. But in terms of how I actually ended up working in chocolate and biscuits, which I do now, I think obvious careers, a lot of my friends went into teaching after English, and I was like, oh, I would love to do that, but I'm quite a lot shorter than like most 15-year-olds. I don't know if I'd have a lot of presence in the classroom. So I looked at the kind of Times top 100 graduate employers, and I went down and I was like, so I had absolutely zero plan. There was no sort of, this is what I've always wanted to do. So I went down this top 100 list and like looked at brands or companies that I was like, I've A, heard of them, or B, like they seem like they would be having a fun place to work. So stuff like BBC. And then when it came to Mondelez, I was like, I know that I'm passionate about chocolate. So it was more thinking about like, what do I like and what do I feel I'd be passionate in? And I knew that I was passionate about chocolate. So then I was like, let's see what jobs they have. And so because I didn't really know what I wanted to do, I ended up doing their graduate scheme. So it was a 3-year scheme where you rotated into different functions. So I did finance, or kind of internal finance, sales and marketing. And that was really great because it gave me great exposure to a breadth of different roles. And then I was like, oh, I love marketing. Then when I came off the graduate scheme last year, I then have now gone into marketing. I would really recommend grad schemes for anyone that isn't unsure of what they want to do. And even I think, even if I'd wanted to do none of those three functions, I think it would have been really great foundation applying for any other kind of job, because you can say look at all the different skill sets I've got from all these different roles. So it's been quite a journey from just like deciding that I liked chocolate and thinking, what's my favorite chocolate, to now I've been here nearly 4 years and it's been the best time with the best people and the best brands. And I'm now double the size I originally was. So it's had all sorts of benefits.
Well, you must have been a stick to start with because you look very slender from where I'm sitting. So you were pronouncing this company name Mondelez.
Mondelez. It's a made up word, so you can go with whatever you want.
And you've mentioned that it's like a fantasy world of chocolate. What are some of the big chocolate brands that they own or produce?
It's all different brands that appeal to all different types of consumers. So we have Cadbury, Green and Blacks, Toblerone, Maynard's Bassett's, like Sour Patch Kids. And then away from chocolate, we have Philadelphia and Dairy Lee, and then Ritz and Biscuits, and like some slightly smaller ones like Mikado and Barney and Prince. So there's a whole big variety going from absolutely massive, such as Cadbury, to like slightly smaller ones like Ritz. Oh, and Oreo, Belvita. Oreo is obviously a very global brand. So when I go to America, most people have only heard of Oreo. So huge variety. And that's been really great as well, going through the grad scheme, that you have the opportunities to work on all different kinds of brands, which all have very different kind of brand personas. So it was very different working on each of them.
Cream cheese and chocolate. This is absolutely not the place to be on a diet, is it?
The office is so cool. There's so much chocolate around. And when I first joined, they were like, it's really important that you try all the products so that you know what you're marketing. And I was like, if you insist.
So where is this fantasy factory filled with cream cheeses and chocolates? Where do you work?
It's kind of on the outskirts of London. So I personally live in central London and then commute out. But because it's such an international company, it's quite near Heathrow. So the factory, Cadbury factory, is in Birmingham, in Bournville. So we're quite often going there, but I'm hardly ever in the same office. I'll either go work with our PR agency or our like media planning agency, who decide like whether we're going to go on Facebook or YouTube or TV. So not based just in one place, which again is a great thing about the job because it doesn't get boring. But the factory is so cool. You see the cream egg line and it's like there's a certain amount of cream eggs they do a second, and you're like, it, you can tell, blows you away.
I've got a really silly question about cream eggs. Are they seasonal or are they produced all year?
So they are seasonal. They did try it out all year round, but like people weren't as interested all year round. People love a novelty. So I would say that Easter, when I was working on Easter, it starts the day after Christmas. So 26th of December. So cream eggs are in store from like January, depending on when Easter is, till pretty much April, depending on the year.
Freshly laid. How did you first hear about Mondelez? Was it literally looking at that list, or had you ever heard of them before, or was it more of a case of you'd heard of the brands but not the parent?
I've heard of Cadbury, and I'd obviously heard of Oreo and Belvita and all these big brands, but I'd never heard of Mondelez before. Again, it was because I went down this top 100 employer list and just like picked 15 that I thought that I would be interested in. And even just googling like top graduate employers or like great companies to work for in marketing, I then used my kind of network. So like my housemate at uni at the time had a sister-in-law that already worked there. So then I was like, do you think your sister-in-law would mind if I ran her and chatted her about it? So I would say a lot of people now message me on LinkedIn and say, do you mind if I have a call about it? I think definitely kind of ask around and use your resources and your network.
You said you started off on this graduate trainee scheme and they moved you all around the building. So what were some of the things they got you doing in all those different departments?
So the first year I was kind of on our internal finance team, so on Christmas biscuits. So I specifically seasonal, which was really great because you very much have to be very close to production calls, work with the factory, work with the customer team. So work with, say, Sainsbury's and say, are you going to sell 10 tons of Oreo Christmas tin? Because if not, you're going to have stuff left over. And then what will happen? So that was a really great introductory role to the business. And then for my second year, I went onto the Freddo and Parents to Kids team. Freddo was obviously the biggest brand. And then we had kind of Curly Whirly, Chomp, Fudge, all these like slightly more like heritage brands. And people genuinely really loved them. So people would write in. I remember on Curly Whirly, these two really sweet girls from Scotland wrote in being like, we think there should be a Curly Whirly Easter egg, like a lattice of Easter eggs. We've done a survey of everyone in our village, and we laughed because they'd done a survey of the 70 people in their village. And we were like, literally everyone in this town. And here's what we think you should do. And they'd drawn us a little picture for the factory and everything. So it was so amazing to work on brands that people really cared about. And like Freddo, people had grown up with. So it was a really amazing brand to work on. And my big job that year was to do a partnership with Merlin, which owns like Thorpe Park and Chessington and Alton Towers. So that was such a cool project to be on. Loved that year, which is pretty much why I came back into marketing. And then my last year in sales, I was on the co-op account. So kind of doing all Mondelez sales for co-op, liaising with buyers. And I did co-op Christmas and Easter. And then I also did co-op standard, which would be like Crunchy, Twirl, all those kind of like bars that you would have maybe as like part of your lunchtime meal deal. So huge variety, some of them more internal facing, like my first role, and then some of them much more external. If you had a problem like with the factory, they would understand because they know what the problems are like in the factory. Whereas in the third year, when I was all external, they were like, I don't care, fix it. This is your job. You need to deliver the amount of Toblerone that you said you were going to deliver. You need to make it happen. Those bits were almost the bits I learned the most from. And I'm so glad that I did it because now it's made me a better marketeer, because when I'm talking with the sales teams, I know what I would have wanted when I was in sales.
So when you're doing this rotation around all the different departments, is it you that eventually chooses where you'd like to end up, or is it more a case of being guided by your managers who see potential in you?
I think they would have been happy with whatever I went to, but I think you'd be silly to not factor in any kind of feedback that you get. There's a really great feedback culture. It was the first time I was kind of in a professional environment where people were giving you constructive feedback. So sometimes it'd be hard to take, and I'd be like, oh my God, you clearly hate me. Whereas actually, that's not what it is at all. And so I would incorporate some of that feedback. So where people would say like, oh, we think you're really, I don't know, creative. I'd be like, oh, maybe I would be better at marketing. And I would factor in the experiences I have over the 3 years, and I could tell that I was better at marketing. But some people went for jobs that they knew that they felt like they could still improve in, that they were like, I want to make sure that I've had the best experience I can so that I can be a more well-rounded businesswoman. It was sort of depend on you, but the choice was absolutely down to me. And what was really nice was that everyone got a role off the scheme.
I think there's a lot of perhaps unfair stereotypes knocking around about millennials, Gen Z and beyond. What gen are you, Ella? Are you like Gen Alpha?
I'm never sure because I'm 97. So I think I'm first year of Gen Z. And I would completely agree with you that it's all so unhelpful. And I try not to subscribe to it.
You know, I think there's like stereotypes knocking around, like students coming out of uni don't particularly have great soft skills like good communication or teamwork, or perhaps they're not robust enough for the workplace. Do you think any of this is true?
Personally, in my experience, absolutely not true. Like there were something like 30 of us on the grad scheme, and everyone I know is like super friendly, really great to work with. What I would say is like, I feel that my generation put a lot of pressure on ourselves. I think a lot of us struggle with imposter syndrome and I was like, are they going to get a real adult to make the decisions? Like, I can't really believe that they're putting me in charge of like £10 million business. So I do think that sometimes we can be, especially as a woman in the workplace, it is quite nerve-wracking to get your views across when you're more junior and there's a lot of senior stakeholders in the room. But I absolutely would disagree. I think we're really hardworking. I think like it's really tough because of living and like the kind of, I feel like we're about to go into a recessionary environment. Like one of the reasons I struggled to do internships was a lot of them were unpaid and I couldn't afford to live in London if I wasn't paid. And I think there's a lot of unhelpful stereotypes that we definitely defy. And I think especially people that like work with Gen Z, I think they would know that as well. I think often people that make those kind of comments actually have never really worked with anyone, because every person that I work with, I feel like we're super entrepreneurial as a generation, and a lot of my friends are doing kind of startups and that kind of thing. So I think if anything, we're more hardworking.
Do you think, having come into the food and drinks industry as your first career, do you think it's a good place for graduates who are like you, unsure, not sure where to go?
Absolutely. Oh, for me, it's been an absolute game changer. mostly because there are a lot of big companies in food and drink who are really set up to support graduates. I felt so looked after. It was a really well-established scheme that like has been going for something like 15 years. Most of the senior leaders have come off this graduate program. So I think it's a great industry to start because it exposes you to these massive brands. Like Cadbury is something like, I mean, obviously I would say this, but the number one brand in the nation. And like to be working on that as your first job is just unbelievable. And I think it really sets you up to do well in business, working in a big business like that. You learn a lot of how business works. Like for me, I'd never booked a meeting room, and like I was saying about feedback, and like I'd never had an end of year review or anything like that. So even if you were then to move out, I think it sets you up really well for the world of business. And people can do a big company and then go and start, you know, start their own or like join a smaller company. And because you've had that foundation of learning, it sets you up so well. So 100% food and drinks.
So now you're full time in marketing. You're like a fully fledged member of staff. Is there such a thing as a typical day? What kind of things do you get up to?
The beauty of it is that absolutely is no such thing as a typical day. So that's nice. Keeps it really fresh. But common things I would be doing is like planning the next year. So like looking into different flavours, looking at how can we work with Sainsbury's or Tesco's to create a really exciting in-store plan. Can we do any sampling, give away free stuff? And then working with the factory and our internal stakeholders to be like, how many tons of Freddo are we going to need in December? I would also kind of be working with PR and media agencies. So being like, are there any big PR stunts? So like on Velveeta recently, they did this big positive energy with Denise Van Outen singing in Leicester Square. So like planning things like that, working with talent, going to shoots, planning adverts, really fun. And then making sure like we still make a profit. So some days I'm on a shoot, some days I'm doing lots of emails. It's really, the variety is the best thing about the job, and no 2 days look the same.
I mean, Ella, you are a brilliant brand ambassador for Mondelez. See, I said it right. You are full of enthusiasm and smiles, and you obviously love working there. So any students listening, definitely keep an eye on those websites and jobs boards for jobs going there, because it looks like such a fun place to work.
Oh, 100%. And I know I've talked a lot about the graduate scheme because that was my experience, but there's loads of different ways to get into it. So our apprentice scheme, where it's straight from school leavers, so they pay for you to do your union degree while you're working there. So you do 4 days a week working as we all do. And then on your fifth day, you'll go to university. So after 3 years, you get your degree. So that's a really great way of doing it. And obviously, bonus of no student loans. So that's a really great way to get in. And then lots of my friends have come in. So they don't come through the graduate scheme. They just call it an entry-level position. So you don't get the same rotations, but you absolutely get the same experience of working on amazing brands. And then in a way, it's a bonus because you choose your own rotations, as in you would just choose your next job rather than it being a formal rotation. So loads of ways to get into it, loads of different functions. So I've been mainly commercial, which is sales and marketing, but you can work in the factory and engineering, in R&D, which is like looking into how do we physically make a new flavor. So in marketing, I would be like, oh, I want, say, a salt and vinegar flavor on Ritz. And then they would go and look and say, like, can we make a salt and vinegar flavor? Would it work on the cracker? We're not doing a salt and vinegar, sadly, despite my campaigns. Loads of different functions for whatever your skill set is. Obviously, I'm quite chatty, so marketing was best for me. But if you're more sciencey or more numbers focused, something for everyone almost.
It's me again. So that was Ella, whose enthusiasm really shines through. It was such a pleasure chatting to a guest who was smiling every time she mentioned her job. Wouldn't you like that for yourself? Ella's advice was, it's never too early to network. She used friends, family, old university alumni, anybody who worked at Mondelez to get company insights before her big interview. She says don't be afraid to do the same. Ask strangers for advice even, as most people do like to be asked their opinion and to help out when they can. She also wishes young people be less hard on themselves and try to stop comparing themselves to their peers. Of course, have a goal and focus on that, but try not to get distracted by what you think you should be achieving and just get on with it. There are many fantastic brand manager roles going for first jobbers in this great food and drinks industry. McDonald's, KFC, Marriott Hotels and the Dorchester Hotel, for example, have incredible graduate trainee schemes. And of course, you should regularly check out the Mondelez jobs board. A junior brand manager might start on a fairly decent salary of £29,000, and the wages can go up to £50,000 and above at senior level, often with brilliant bonuses. You can expect to stay on a graduate scheme for a minimum of 1 year, and don't forget to ask if there's extra compensation if you are living and working in a big city. Thank you so much to Ella for sharing her genuine, infectious passion for the job, and thank you for listening. Till next time, goodbye.